Welcome to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Stizzum, where entrepreneurs come together to discuss business growth strategies, marketing ideas, techniques, and tips. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Michelle Stizzum.
Welcome, everyone, to Take Action, Get Profits. I am Michelle Stizzum, and super excited to be with you here on another, we'll call it a beautiful Monday. The sun is shining in Louisiana. It was raining all weekend, so I'm really excited to be seeing the sun, and my trees are really excited to have seen the rain. So everybody's happy, it looks like, at this point. You know, it's going to be another great show. We always have amazing guests on our show, and today is no exception to that rule. Before we get started, I want to do a little housekeeping. Don't forget that you can connect with us in many ways. Number one, you can call in at 347-989-1363. That's 347-989-1363. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/decisiveminds and facebook.com/toughtalkradio. And then absolutely don't forget about iTunes. You'll find us on iTunes at Take Action, Get Profits on iTunes.com, and you can go back and listen to old shows, listen to old guests who were on, and we've always had great topics on how to successfully build your business. And, you know, my conversation over the last year, if you've been listening to the show, we've talked a lot about creating a legacy business, and I just did a three-day event 2 weeks ago in Houston. I cannot believe it's already been 2 weeks. On that entire topic, right? It's called Legacy Live, but there was a bigger conversation about living your legacy, not just creating a legacy or leaving a legacy, but actually living your legacy, being able to live the lifestyle that you want to live and make the changes in the world that you want to make while you're here to enjoy them. And so, you know, that got me started thinking in lots of different directions. What I know to be true is that when we're taking, you know, I've outlined several times on the show, a seven-step process to creating your legacy business. And when we are moving through that process, before we can get to a point where we truly can build a leveraged business, we have to get to a point where we are having a consistent cash flow. And so there are things that we should be doing that will build our expertise, build our audience out there, and have us start bringing in more cash into our business. And one of those things is speaking. And so I'm going to spend the next couple of shows talking about some different aspects of speaking for you, what that looks like in your business, what should you be focused on, and how do you make that profitable, right? And so the first thing I wanted to talk to you about this week is really, you know, some of the hurdles that I see for people who decide that they want to go out and tell the world about what it is that they love and what their stand is. They're going to take a stand. They're going to go get known for it. And, you know, when we look at speaking, it gives you instant credibility. It gives you instant expert status. I often say that just the fact that you're holding the mic makes you the expert in the room. Now, that expertise is yours to be lost. So if you don't do your, you know, if your talk isn't right or it doesn't come across right, you can lose that expert status, but I am telling you, simply by holding the mic, people already think you know what you're talking about. So when we look at no matter what business you're in, it might be in the coaching arena. We see lots of coaches that speak, but it might be in any multitude of other arenas. You could be building pools for a living and be speaking. You could be an accountant and be speaking. There are actually, I don't know that I can think of a single business that couldn't benefit from gaining a bigger audience through speaking opportunities. So what is it that stops us from getting those speaking opportunities? This week we're going to talk specifically about your speaker sheet, because I believe that is, you know, that's what's holding a lot of people back. They feel like they don't have the information to give to the person that is going to invite them to speak. And so I want to just kind of walk through a simple way for you to design, to create, to pull together the information that you need for a speaker sheet. Now, when I started this business 5.5 years ago, I guess at this point, and everyone was telling me, you know, you got to get speaking, which by the way, it took me 12 months. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. Don't wait. Get out there and do it. But when they started to tell me that, I had all these thoughts. Well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, and I don't know how, you know, what does my speaker sheet look like and all of that. So I came up with a format for a speaker sheet that I actually created myself. And don't get me wrong, I am a big believer in the beautiful, graphically designed speaker sheets. But all I want you to have right now is something to get you started, right? If you haven't gotten started, let's get you started. So what is it that you can do to create a speaker sheet? What I did is I created a Word doc. Back then there was no Google Doc, and so you can open a Google Doc, open a Word doc, whatever you have, and you're going to include some very specific pieces. Number one, obviously, is your name and contact information. You want to get those pieces out. My entire speaker sheet, or my speaker packet, you might call it, is a PDF that consists of about 5 pages. And so, we call it a one sheet, but it's kind of misleading, kind of misnomer, right? The first page of that to me is kind of like my cover letter for a resume. And so, it's got my logo. It's got just kind of the welcoming information and plus the how to get in touch with me. You know, so that maybe there's a paragraph in there that says, you know, thank you for your interest, right, in having me speak at your event or at your teleclass or telesummit or webinar. Mine actually starts with the statement, thank you for your interest in having Michelle speak at your upcoming teleclass, telesummit, webinar, or in-person event. There you go. I covered them all in one statement, right? In this document, we're including a link to Michelle's photo, bio, and description for Michelle's most requested signature talks. So there's just enough information here for them to see that I'm interested, that I'm going to give them everything that they need. I'm going to make their life easy. That is my goal here. And then we continue down this page, and there's a URL link to my headshot. So I don't have to send them that separately. They can just log. They can just go to my website and download my headshot. There's also all of the information to get in touch with me. Website, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the pieces that you want, all the places you want people to connect with you. And there is a link to my affiliate program. So if you have an affiliate program and as a host, they can log in to and join your affiliate program and get paid commissions on anything that you might sell, you want to be sure that you include that as well. The next thing that I include is my bio. Now, I have two versions of my bio here, a short version and a long version. The short version is 100 words or less. When you start speaking a lot, you will notice that people will ask you for a bio that is 100 words or less. So go ahead and get it created. My longer version bio is 172 words. Both bios end with a statement that says, for business building tips, visit www.decisiveminds.com, right? So tell them what the next step is in your bio, because if they take this, someone has you coming in to speak and they put your bio online, there's another link to your website. The next thing that I have here is there are some testimonials. So if you've gotten testimonials from your clients about working with you or about you being a speaker, either one of those, both of those should go on in here in the packet for your speaking. And then last but absolutely not least are the descriptions of your talks. Now, let me say first that as a business coach, and if you're listening to me right now, it means I'm your business coach at this moment. As your business coach, I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to have more than about 3 talks. Really, if you're just getting started, you only need 1. But some of us get really bored really easy, so maybe you need to have 2 or 3. And when we look at the talks here, it is simply a great grabbing headline, some marketing copy, which is 1 to 2 paragraphs of why someone should listen, and then the bullet points of what they're going to learn when they listen to this talk. And most people ask you to send in between 3 and 5 bullet points. So at a minimum, have 3. At a maximum, have 5. And then you're ready to go. And so when someone asks you if you can come speak for them, then you can simply send them this PDF because you've now written it in Word or in Google Docs or whatever. You save it as a PDF, which is really easy for you to email to someone. You email this to them, and they've got all the information, and they're ready for you to come in and be a speaker. if you would like to see a copy of my speaker sheet, and feel free to emulate what you're seeing there and make it better if you want to make it better, I'm always willing to look at that as well. We wrote a blog post that went out earlier this week, so if you'll go to decisiveminds.com and look for the blog post, My Super Easy Speaker Sheet Shortcuts. My Super Easy Speaker Sheet Shortcut. What you will see in that blog post is there's a download button. You can download a copy of my speaker sheet so that you can see what I'm talking about and exactly what I do and emulate that. All righty, so we are going to go take our first break of the show and come back with our first guest. So I'll see you in a few minutes.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Awesome, and we are back with our first guest of the show. Rhonda, are you there?
Hi, Michelle. It's Rhonda. Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Very good. I'm so excited that you're on the show with me today. Guys, this is Rhonda Townsend, and she is just a sweetheart of a person from Houston. You are going to love her. And so, Rhonda, this is what I like to do. I start with just, I'm going to read your bio because I don't want to leave out any of the good stuff. But then I really want to know about, you know, what's the nitty-gritty that really got you to this point of becoming an entrepreneur and doing what you're doing. So if you're good with that, I'm going to start with the bio and we'll go from there. Awesome.
Okay.
So, guys, like I said, this is Rhonda Townsend, and Rhonda is a first-generation entrepreneur. She's never let societal norms or other people's limitations hold her back. In fact, she excels at making her dreams a reality by designing practical, business-savvy processes and carefully implementing each step towards success. Her secret lies in a rare ability to blend her executive managerial skills with creative vision and inspiration. Her motto, and I love this, Be You, Live You, Love You, exemplifies her spirit of enthusiasm, ambition, and respect for individuality. Rhonda draws from her educational background with an MBA and experience serving at high-profile companies like Exxon, Hewlett-Packard, and Insperity to prepare her own brand and effectively motivate and manage her team. So, Rhonda, I am so glad that you're here with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So, because I know you spent most of your life in the corporate world, talk to us about what brought you to entrepreneurship and why this and why now kind of conversation.
Well, you're correct. The majority of my career, 25 plus years, have been in corporate America, and with that, I was really under the impression as naive as I was, that, you know, oh, you know how you go into a corporation and you're going to spend the rest of your life there. That's that old school mentality. Well, we know now with the millennials and with all of that, that that is no longer true. That loyalty, per se, that companies had for their employees or the employees had for their companies is not as long-term as it used to be. And so with that being said, I had gone through three different layoffs at three different companies. Based on the type of role that I was in, I was more or less an internal consultant. And, of course, with corporations, when they're trying to trim the fat, the first thing that goes are the consultants, get rid of those high-paying consultants and things. And so did that, and after the third time, I was like, I really am tired of this, you know, and having to go through that grief process each time, because it is a, you know, that five-step grief process that we go through as humans, and I was really tired of doing that. And one day my sister said, why don't you just start your own business? And that's how I started becoming an entrepreneur.
That is so many people, that's their story, right? Is that if you get to that point where corporate is great, but then whenever you one day realize that they have way too much control and you know, there are some possibilities out there. So you said, okay, I think I'll do it. And why this? Why focus on processes and systems?
Well, mostly based on my background. And I really believe, and I'm focusing really on the people side of business. That is my intrinsic, inherent focus. I love people. I love meeting people, hearing their journeys, and speaking with them and learning all about them. And then the technical side of me is my process improvement side, which is, you know, my corporate background, the experience I could bring to the table to help small businesses and different businesses really own and shore up their customers' experience. And so my focus is really on the customer's experience, your employees' loyalty, customer retention, employee retention, those types of things, the people side of the business.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So let's have that conversation first. And actually, before we get too deep in this, I do want to tell everyone what your website address is. And it is peopleprocessprofits.com, correct? I'm on the right side.
That is correct. Yes, that is
correct. It looks like you, Rhonda. I'm thinking it's you. So, excellent. So let's talk. So first of all, remembering that we have an audience of small business owners and entrepreneurs, a big mix of solopreneurs and, you know, smaller businesses, 1 to 5, maybe 10 employees, and as our audience. So when we talk about people, the people side of business, meaning probably customer, as you were just saying, the customer experience, right?
Correct.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the entrepreneurial world for us when it comes to the customer experience.
Well, what I've noticed over the years, just as a customer myself, is when I go into a small business, what I realized is that a lot of times their processes don't really speak to what my experience as a customer would be. What impact what they're doing is having an impact on me. For example, let's just say you go into a restaurant, or let's just say, let me think of another small business, smaller, like five people. Okay, a printing company. Let's say that, a small mom-and-pop print shop. And you're going in there to get your business cards. And you walk in, and you have someone sitting there at the front doing graphic design, and they're really not a people person most times, right? And therefore, you're standing there, and they're kind of like ignoring you, waiting for the owner to come from the back or someone to come from the back to acknowledge and greet you. And so usually when someone walks into a business, the first thing you want to do is acknowledge them as a customer and acknowledge them as a human being and show them that you appreciate their coming to your business and doing business with you. And so it's just those little bitty things like that that really got me to thinking. It's like, what about the customer's experience? It's really all about minimizing the effort and reducing the effort that it takes me to do business with you. You know,
right.
we live in a fast-paced society, and we're really all about convenience. And so a lot of the things that we offer, a lot of products and services we offer, are commoditized at this point. So how can you set yourself apart from the next person or the next small business? And so one of the key things that can happen is you build that customer loyalty where your customers will continue to buy from you over and over again, which increases your profit.
So, you know, Rhonda, we hear a lot of people talking about customer experience, and they do talk about the experience of walking in the store. And a lot of my mm-hmm. audience is, you know, they're working from home. They're not
mm-hmm.
seeing their people face-to-face. So let's talk a little bit about customer experience in a more virtual world.
Yes. Okay, even in a virtual world, if you're on the phone, if you're speaking with your customers and talking to them over the phone, one of the key things you want to do is to minimize your background noise. You don't really want the dog barking. You don't want the baby screaming in the background. We've had that happen before, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure some of us have. Well, we've even experienced it as a customer, you know, ourselves.
Right.
So you want to minimize that, reduce the background noise. You also, if you're Skyping or doing a visual type of interaction with your customer, your client, you want to make sure that you have a pretty clean background. You know, either get in front of your book of libraries or your library books or in your office or something. You don't want to see all the dirty trash on the floor, that kind of thing. And so it's really all about not letting your backstage come on stage. And that's in my signature talk is keeping those things that are not really focused on the customer, keep it in the background. And it's all
very
easy. Yeah, from your physical, when, you know, what they can see and what they can hear, and then also behavioral. You want to be able, they can hear you smile, of course, in your voice, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as you're speaking, smile, you know, make sure you're, what I call it, well caffeinated, even if you don't drink caffeine. Make sure you're perky enough as you're speaking with your clients that they're wanting to engage with you, that you have their, you know, attention and that they're focused in there with you during that conversation. And so listening, actively listening to your customer, repeating back the things that they've said to you, make sure that you're engaged with them. So those are some of the things virtually that you can do to engage in your customer.
I love mm-hmm. that because I think that those are just small changes that we can make when we become aware of those changes. I have to tell you real quick that you know, I spent 5 years as a Mary Kay sales director, and one of the things that they had us do that worked very well for me, I can be a very intense person. I am like, I like to build business, man, and I get in the conversation, and I want to know. And
mm-hmm.
so they had us put take a little – mirror, a very
the
small mirror.
Mirror
to our monitor.
Yes.
So every time I would look at it, I would realize, oh, I'm not smiling. And I would start
uh-huh.
smiling because you're right. You can hear the what's happening on the other end, and you don't realize
yeah.
how people experience that. So with that said, as entrepreneurs, how do we, you know, how do we make those shifts when we don't even realize that's what we're doing, right? And that's what's happening in the background, and
mm-hmm.
we don't realize that we're sitting in front of a whole pile of stuff that might be stressing out the person who's looking at us, right?
right. Right. I was I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead with what you were going to say there.
I was just going to give an example. I was on a webinar one time with a guy, and well, he was presenting, it wasn't just me, but on a group webinar, and you know, his panoramic view of his camera caught so much in the background, it was ridiculous. If his, you know, if he was home based, of course, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if he realizes that, you know, and
yeah.
some people may not be aware of it.
I think that's the thing. I think that It is, so you come naturally from a customer-oriented process development, you know, process improvement kind of thought process. And if that's not where you come from, you don't automatically think of those things. And so we have to stop and really look at what's the vision, what's the experience that the other person is having. And I really think that it's a big problem for entrepreneurs.
Yes.
I think they're not thinking about it.
And that is true. And most of us are so technically focused on what we offer, our product or either our service, that it's all those ancillary areas, functional areas that we don't think about. And the customer's experience is, for me, really, really, really important, because they're the ones, of course, your business is built on a relationship. And if you don't have those customers, and some of us have employees or teams that we work with, if you don't have those people in your business, you don't have a business.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a customer or a potential, you know, sometimes an employee, I would say. And so
yeah.
you really have to focus on what is the experience that they're having and what impact are you leaving on them. And you want it to be a positive one, because with that positive experience, those people are going to become raving fans, and they're just going to go out there and just market your product, your service, how you made them feel as they were, you know, doing business with your company. And you just got it. You got a pretty much a free a marketing rep out there just ranting
yeah.
and raving all about you and your business. So, you know, that is a real key focus for me as I, you know, give my talks and my speeches and do trainings and things like that, is to focus on what impact am I leaving that customer? Is my business leaving that customer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's actually what I was going to ask you next. We have about 4 minutes before we go to break. And so for those who have team members, and a lot of the people who listen to my show, their businesses are like mine. My team
mm-hmm.
right now is exclusively virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the conversation around how is your team being perceived or interacting with the public. Do you have any advice, especially for those who are working with a virtual team, on, you know, whether they're doing stuff their way or our way, right?
Well, first and foremost, you know, it would be the first thing you want to look at as a leader or as, you know, the owner of your business with a team is making sure you're choosing the right people for your company, to represent your company, making sure
right.
that you're articulating that vision and what you want it to look like, and also articulating the standards of excellence that you expect and want in your business. And so
mm-hmm.
with that, you know, it really is about your hiring processes. That's the first and foremost thing you want to look at with your teams. And then secondly is making sure those processes, the operational processes that you have in place are, I would say that you're minimizing the time, reducing the time that it takes to respond to a customer. You're making sure that what you're responding is indicative and in your voice per se. And I'm going to use you as an example, Michelle, that, you know, if you have someone who's responding to an email on your behalf, that they're writing like you, that they're speaking like you. And so that means you would have to spend a lot of time, not a lot of time, but you would want to choose someone who can speak your voice, who's bought into your vision of your company, and who understands the standards of excellence that you yourself hold.
Yes, and I think that, again, you've hit the nail several times here, and that is the understanding who you place into what positions,
mm-hmm.
right? There are different personalities that do different things very well. Who
Correct.
Is that front person for your business? And great example of the graphic designer sitting by the door. Well, even in a virtual world, we can have those same situations. We might have put a non-people person in a people person position.
That is correct.
So we got to really look at those things, right?
We have to look at those things. And, you know, there are certain personality assessments that you can, you know, give them, if you will, you know, as you're hiring them, and just kind of making sure that they're very customer focused. There are certain interview questions you can ask, behavioral And personality-wise, you can ask to make sure they're customer-centric and they're customer-focused beings as well. So,
yes. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, listen, we only have a minute or two before we go to break. I want to be sure that everybody gets connected with you. And, you know, we told them your website earlier, peopleprocessprofits.com. And so is there anything that you would like to share with them? You have a giveaway you want to talk about, anything coming up?
Well, yes, actually, with whoever goes to the website, there is a download of three easy ways to gain loyal customers. And so they're very super simple, very easy things you can do and be aware of as you're conducting business, either virtually or, you know, face-to-face with a customer, that you can do in order to make sure your customer's experience is on point.
Very cool. Love it. Mm-hmm. You guys, sure, and check out Rhonda's website. She has lots of great information on here. And, you know, it's one of those things that will set you apart and make you different when it comes to someone looking at you versus a competitor, right? How do you make them feel? All sales are made based on emotion, trust, and just in general, how do they feel about the process, right? So
mm-hmm.
I want you to go get connected with Rhonda. Rhonda, thank you so much. It's been great having you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
You are so welcome. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in a few moments. Talk to you soon.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
All righty, and we are back, and I just found out that our second guest had some difficulties and couldn't get on the show, and so we've asked Rhonda if she would stick around. Rhonda, you still there?
I am here, Michelle. Thank you.
Awesome. First of all, thank you so much for staying. There's so much that you and I can talk about, so this works out perfectly. And we were in the conversation, actually, of, you know, what your – we were talking about people in your business, right? So customer relation, and then also looking at how does your team come across and present your business out to the world. So if we were to just look at the processes that come along with that, because I know you're about people, process, and profits, where should people begin? How does someone who doesn't normally look at processes start to do that? And I'm getting a lot of background noise. I don't know if that's you or me. Since we were just talking about that, which is really funny, huh, Rhonda?
Yeah.
Anyway, so how do they start? And what specifically do you want them to look at?
Okay, when it comes down to the processes, with whatever business you're in, whether it's a product or offering a service, whether it's virtually or face-to-face, what you want to deliver, first and foremost from a customer's experience perspective, is to deliver value to that customer, first and foremost. You want to deliver your product and your service right the first time, okay? Mm-hmm. Secondly, if there is a problem or if there is an issue or a customer has some feedback, you want to look at your contact, how you manage that contact and that connection with that customer. That is going to be very, very, very key to making sure and restoring that relationship if things didn't go right the first time you had an interaction with the client. And so one thing you want to do is really set up your processes to make sure that the first time you deliver your product or service, it is so spot on, again, they're going to be ranting and raving. And then if there's any type of issue, you want to go back and look at if there are any trends, if there are any repeating patterns with, what transpired. Was that the first time you've heard about that, or was it a continuous kind of thing that happens over and over again, and you're hearing the same response from different customers? And so you, at that point, that's when you want to look at, well, how are we doing these things? How are we setting up, you know, is it difficult to do business with us? Is it annoying for customers to do business with us? Let me give you an example from as a coach, as a business coach. I've engaged with someone, or I'm hypothetical. This is very hypothetical. Let's just say I've bought into a program and I went through a 6-week course, and then after my 6 weeks course, I still may have questions or still may have, you know, some things I need clarified for me. But then from that coach or the program that I've been through, I have no follow-up. No one's reached out to me. I have not heard back from them. I have not gotten any types of emails and staying engaged with that community. That is an issue for me as a customer.
Yeah, so that's something that's a perfect example for the types of thought processes that aren't automatically coming to an entrepreneur, right?
Yes.
In that
yes.
they go through, they deliver whatever it is they're delivering on, and beyond that, you might get their newsletter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's one of those big opportunities that I see people really missing especially in the coaching world where you and I have spent a lot of time, right? And that is that those are previous clients, previous customers. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you reaching back out and doing some follow-up and checking on where they are? And
right.
I think that there's a big problem there, Rhonda.
Oh, my. And, you know, it behooves us as coaches and as consultants in the business world to do follow-up. The money is really in the follow-up as well. You know, there is a Harvard Business Review that basically said that, you know, you can increase your profits by 75% if you just retain one customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that renewal rate, if you're trying to get your cash flow going in your business, how about reaching out to that same customer and renew them? You know, it's so much easier. That's a huge profit potential right there. And then you also... It's, you know, they're 10% more ready to buy from you and buy ancillary products and things like that from you. Just like I was in that example with that coaching program. If I was there for 6 weeks, I was, you know, I'm excited. I'm engaged. I'm already connected with you. What else do you have? I may be ready to spend some more money at that point in time.
Right.
You know, and so if there's another product or program, yes, be sure and stay engaged, customers you already have, because they're, you know, more likely to buy other products from you if they've already engaged and trusted you with, you know, with their work before, you know?
So what I want people to see is that this is a process. I think that, Rhonda, I think we scare them to death as entrepreneurs when we say you have to focus on your processes. And so I want them to see everything they do is a process.
Everything they do
can be analyzed from this point of view. It's like what else, right? Maybe those are the two words. What else? What else could I be providing them? What else are they having trouble with? What else can I do for them?
Right.
In this particular instance. So how do you get people to shift to, you know, into process thinking?
Well, that's interesting. And I think the term, Michelle, when people hear the processes, they're like, oh, my gosh, they go into overwhelm. just to hear the word, I got to have a process, got to have a process. And as you mentioned just now, everything you do is a process. Just because you haven't documented it does not mean it's not a process.
Right.
And so one of the first things you could do is just write down the steps that you take. And then also look at that, analyze those steps and say, at this point on this one particular process step, what are the sub-steps underneath it? What are the tasks associated with that? You know, you don't have to go so low and, you know, so deep in the levels of your process, but make sure that everything you do adds value. There is some work that we do is just no value add whatsoever. And we're just doing it and spinning our wheels, and we wonder why we're not being productive, why we're not getting results. Because we're doing things that are just, it's just busy work.
And I think one of the big problems is that when you are solopreneur or maybe just a few employees and you are doing the majority of the work, and so you put together something or you're doing something in a particular way, it becomes habit for you, whatever that looks like.
Right.
One of the things that we did when we did some product launches this last year was that we asked some external users to run through the process, not just as a beta user, but just to go through the process of enrollment, of purchase, all the different pieces that we had to test out the system.
Right.
And because what we've learned here at For Decisive Minds is that, you know, I've got an amazing team, and they all do their pieces amazingly, and sometimes the joints between the pieces fall apart. And when we did that, when we beta tested a few people through the actual purchasing process and the enrollment process and all of that, we found where the process broke down. So, you know, sometimes it is getting outside of yourself.
That is so true. And also, Michelle, is looking at your processes from end to end. So when that customer first comes into your business, all the way through, as you mentioned, to the different, you know, it may go to your, you know, administrative assistant in order to get it set all up in the system. And then it may hand off to somebody in marketing who may need to craft, you know, emails or craft do whatever, right? And then it goes off into the operations side where they're actually getting the coaching and getting the programs and the content and all of that. And then it goes into the follow-up. And so making sure that all of those touch points, the end-to-end process, is the handoffs are there. Because as you mentioned, there's so many times once something leaves our desk or leaves our job description, if you will, we forget about it. We're like, oh, okay, that's somebody else's job, quote-unquote. And so what you have to do is have everyone make sure that everything that they do, they're responsible for that customer. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if that's making sense. You have to make sure they're responsible for that customer. So even if they're not providing, like, the coaching per se, if you have, like, a team of coaches that work with you,
work for you, even if they're not providing the coaching content, the admin pretty much is still responsible for their customer and the customer's experience. So everyone has to make sure that they're not saying that's not my job or that someone else does that or whatever. You have to look at things from the customer's experience.
Yeah,
from their
yeah.
perspective. Yeah.
So when you work with your clients, first of all, who are your ideal clients?
Well, my ideal clients, I currently work with, I would say, small businesses. But then I just recently landed a corporate client as well. So I do process documentation work with them as well. My ideal client would be businesses with employees, because one thing I love to do is train and speak and teach and share knowledge and, you know, just pretty much really engage with people. And so I really, really get excited about that. The process work comes in secondary, because as part of, you know, looking at things from a customer's perspective, it really is pretty much about the processes, because sometimes if you have teams or employees, their jobs are difficult because it's not in line and perfectly in line with how the customer is being treated or touched, if you will. It makes it really difficult even for them to do their job. They're like, why are we doing this? And, you know, they may be afraid to speak up, or they may say, oh, because somebody already, we've always done it this way. Well, you know, you have to look at it with a new and fresh perspective. You know, what if we do it differently? Why do we do it this way? We don't know, but I think we don't have to do this step. You know, let's take it out and see what impact it has, right?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's, you know, when my ideal client would be businesses with employees, I could do the trainings and the teachings, that type of thing. But with, like I said, with the processes, I'm always bringing that into play as I'm working with my clients and talking with them and training and doing that. Mm-hmm.
What is the specific? So I'm just trying to help with the audience that's listening. What is their specific pain point that if they've got this pain point, they really need to be calling you, looking you up?
Well, it's like, I have these employees, and, you know, you just can't find good help anymore. You know how people, you get so many small businesses say, oh, gosh, the work ethic is just so bad nowadays. You know, these millennials coming through. And it really may not be that. It really could be, how about leadership and how you show up and how you treat them and how... what type of environment and creative environment you've created, is it conducive to a really good, a feel-good environment? You know, do people want to come to work?
Right.
Do people, do your customers want to engage with you based on how easy it is to do business with you? And so that's one of the questions, the pain points that I get is, oh, you know, you have the small businesses, they're always talking about they can't, you know, find good employees. And then another pain point is, oh, I need process work. Oh, I need my processes done. Oh, I need to set up a standardized process. But if you're in business, you probably have a standardized process. It may not be the most efficient one, but you got one. And so at that point, you need to really kind of document some things and make sure that if anything ever happens, that your business can go on, you know, that legacy can continue to live, per se.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay,
and so
cool.
You want,
So how does someone, number one, get in touch with you? And I think I saw on your site that you offer a complimentary session to give people, to find out where people are, correct?
Yes, I really do. I offer a 30-minute complimentary session, and at that point we can really chat about where they are in their business, whether they're solopreneurs, whether they're, you know, business coaches, regardless of the industry, regardless of the size of your business, you know, there is an opportunity to talk
about customers, and it's an opportunity to talk about processes. And so I do offer that. They can go to my website at peopleprocessprofits.com, or they can fill out a form there. There's a contact work with Rhonda page, and so feel free to fill out that form, and I'd be happy to set up a complimentary session with them.
Okay, great. Exactly. Awesome. I am so excited that you stayed with us for the second half of this show. Thank you so much for being here and being just like full of wonderful information. So, you know, I'm the person who gets excited about processes. So, you know, I'm excited that we got to talk for so long. And
right.
I hope everyone else learned a few things. I really want everyone to see that processes don't have to be this monster thing in our business. And when we take the time to get them done, and I know that's your problem out there. I know you don't want to commit the time because you're busy and you got things going on. But I'm telling you, life gets so much better when customers are happy because of the way that things worked out for them or the way that they were treated in the experience that they happened, that they had, changes everything, the view of you, your business, everything. And they're more likely to share you with others and be your sales force for you. So
yes.
Awesome. All right, guys. So be sure you go check out Rhonda's website at, my advice thing popped up, peopleprocessprofits.com, peopleprocessprofits.com. Thank you, Rhonda. It's been awesome having you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michelle.
All right, guys. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Working hard but not making money? Are you ready to finally start being paid what you are worth? Learn how business strategy coach Michelle Sism and her clients are creating 6-plus-figure businesses. Check out Michelle Sism's free video series where she reveals her step-by-step strategy for creating consistent cash flow in your business. You can learn more at highlypaidauthority.com.
Wow. So, what a great show. I have to thank Rhonda for stepping in when we needed her. I appreciate that, for her sticking around. And I knew that she had so much information that she could share. I think we could probably do multiple hours with Rhonda, and it wouldn't we wouldn't run out of content. I have to tell you guys, if you're if you are out there in Facebook world and while we were doing the show, that's, you know, kind of how I stay in touch with my producer of the show. And Facebook actually went down. And so I just popped back over to see if it was back up to make sure there were any notes that I needed for the end of the show. And notice that there's already articles out on Newsweek and some different places talking about the fact that Facebook went down an hour ago. If you don't think that we have the most instant society, it's just absolutely interesting how fast things happen and are talked about and are, you know, just everything. So number one, the speed. Number two, when you rely on something to be there all the time, right? So Facebook has actually gone down twice this week, which is very interesting. But I don't remember the time before that, the last time that Facebook went down. So it was like shocker when it didn't work. And it's got a billion active users out there, and moments of downtime for Facebook, I can't imagine what they lost in advertising revenues being down for a few minutes. So I'm always looking at the business side of it and think that's very interesting. I know for a lot of people it was frustrating that it went down, but guys, hello, how connected are we, right? So fantastic show. You should be looking at your processes in your business. And we opened the show with a conversation around speaking and what that looks like for you. And again, that is another one of those processes. It's a marketing strategy and a sales strategy. It actually can come in under both strategies. When we look at the use of speaking in developing our audience and getting people's attention and our expert status, that's the marketing side of it. But we also utilize speaking in a sales process to fill programs and courses and sell books and all of those kind of things that we do to make money. So I covered this week on what your speaker sheet should look like, and I wanted to remind you that you can go and download mine by going to decisiveminds.com, and you will search for the blog post that we wrote on the secrets of your speaker sheet. I guess I should have had that pulled up so I could give you the exact title. It's My Super Easy Speaker Sheet Shortcuts. My Super Easy Speaker Sheet Shortcut is the name of the blog post. And you'll see on there that you can download my actual speaker sheet, and feel free to emulate that at this point. And at some point, I do believe in having a beautiful graphically designed speaker sheet. I'm actually working on that right now for myself. But I want you to know this is what I've used for the last 5.5 years or 5 years that I've been speaking. And it works. It works very well. I want you to look at every speaking opportunity just like we talked about with Rhonda, and that is, what's the customer experience? Who's the customer in a speaking opportunity? The host, the venue, the people that are bringing you in, they're the first layer of customer, right? So what is their experience of you as a speaker? Did you get them the information that they needed on a prompt basis? Did your team, your employees, respond to them courteously? And do they overall have an amazing experience with you? What I can tell you is that people that host events that have speakers hang with other people who host events that have speakers. So it will not be long before it will get around that you are either an amazing speaker, easy to work with, great with their crowd, they would love to have you back, or it will get around very quickly that you're a pain in the behind and, maybe you shouldn't be asked to speak because you didn't get them what they needed right away or whatever that looks like. So I want to encourage you to create this speaker sheet in such a format and a way that makes it really just making life easy for them. The truth of the matter is, you don't want them focused on you. You want them focused on filling their room, filling their event, whether it's virtual, in person, whatever that looks like. You want their focus to stay on filling and making sure they have a big audience so that you have a big audience when you show up as the speaker. That's what's so very important. So go to decisiveminds.com and look for My Super Easy Speaker Sheet Shortcut. We'll over the next couple of shows, I'm going to be sharing with you, I have an upcoming training on this entire process of speaking and making speaking more profitable. By next week, I'll give you more information on that. It's coming up in November. And I'll also be walking you through some other conversations of how to know when to say no to a speaking engagement or how to make a speaking engagement profitable. There's lots of different conversations I want to have with you about these speaking opportunities. All right, guys, I want you to go out, have an amazing week. It's the beginning of the week, and you have huge opportunity to do whatever you want and accomplish whatever you want in this week. I'm Michelle Sism saying be decisive, and I'll talk to you again next Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sisson, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.